What's better than this, guys being dudes here on the Draft Dudes podcast presented by Locked On. It's Joe Marino and Kyle Krabs from the Draft Network, and we are your hosts here on this Monday episode of the show. Today's episode is brought to you by rockauto.com. They have amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. Kyle, it's a big week here on this podcast as we close this series out with the season predictions and the San Diego Scouts expansion draft teams or players available. Happy Monday to you.
So I guess here's my question. Are we going to do playoffs on Friday?
We could. We should.
We should. Because this weekend we are assembling the Scouts roster for Madden.
Which will be the Monday pod.
And then we will do the 2021 NFL draft we will actually do.
So today the Scouts will
have the number one overall pick in all three rounds or all seven rounds, and then we will simulate the 2021 season.
So a peek ahead. Today is Browns, Lions, and Broncos. Tomorrow is Takes on Takes. Wednesday and Thursday will be the remaining eight teams that we have to pick. Friday will be the playoffs. Then at some point over the weekend, probably Sunday night, we'll do the live expansion draft for the Scouts. That'll be the Monday podcast. Tuesday, Takes on Takes. And then Wednesday will be the 2021 NFL mock draft.
Correct.
I would hit the subscribe button, but that's just me.
Probably seems like a good idea.
Yeah.
So, Joe, as you said, we're starting with the Cleveland Browns today. And the Cleveland Browns currently – we only need to pick three games for the Cleveland Browns. That's the luxury of because as we're using our dear friends over playoffpredictors.com, you can fill out the games for a team, and then it populates those predictions in the other team's schedules. So we have predicted the Baltimore Ravens are going to be 13-3 this year. The Pittsburgh Steelers are going to be 10-6. The Cincinnati Bengals we project to be 6-10, three times as many wins in year two, the first year with Joe Burrow. Right now, the Browns are sitting at 7-6. We've left to pick three games, and the Browns are currently the AFC 7 seed.
Well, and shout out to the Baltimore Ravens for clinching the AFC North.
Correct. Yeah, it's done. It's a question of if Cleveland could surpass the New England Patriots for the sixth seed and then put the Patriots on the bubble of potentially missing the playoffs if the Denver Broncos can chase them down, which is why we're doing these two teams now.
Let's do it.
Okay. So, Cleveland Browns, we've projected 13 games, including a week one loss in Baltimore to the Ravens. Week two, they are at home on Thursday night playing the Cincinnati Bengals. We are projecting that to be a win. Our first to-be-determined game is right here in Week 3 against Washington.
I'm here for the Chase Young versus Jedrick Wills reps.
Oh, that'll be fun. I didn't consider that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's fun. And I don't know who – it's not really that – Miles Garrett playing is exciting, but I don't know that Washington's left tackle situation is very exciting.
No, it's not. But I think that's a – that's a critical matchup, which may be one of the key deciding factors in this football game.
Yes, very much so.
It's in Cleveland.
It's in Cleveland, which is very helpful. The Browns' offensive line has been overhauled. However, this is a big test. Actually, I think all three of these first tests, Ravens, Bengals, and Redskins for Cleveland, and that offensive line, just about as bad of a three-team trio that you could face to start the year.
Loaded with front seven defensive linemen.
Yeah, with defensive line. Yeah.
By the way, Washington is announcing today that they will no longer call themselves.
Yeah.
By that mascot. So,
do you have a favorite on that?
I'm surprised to hear there's a lot of momentum for the Red Wolves right now.
Yeah, so it feels like Warriors, Red Tails, and Red Wolves are like the three most talked about, at least that I can see.
I know they said they were probably going to get completely away from the Native American imagery. So
Warriors is out there.
Warriors is probably out because they want to keep the same color scheme and I like the Red Tails because it paid homage to, I believe it was from World War II.
Tuskegee Airmen, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's cool, yeah.
That would probably be my favorite of the three most talked about.
Red Wolves sounds cool. It's like, it's almost like, don't call it the Red Wolves. Just call it the Washington Wolf Pack.
Yes, that's correct.
Like, well, I don't know why it has to be the Red Wolves. No, you know, isn't that some, they used to call a Navy SEALs team, they were the Red Wolves or something. I could be over talking right now, but yeah, Washington Wolfpack's cool. You know, do all the NC State stuff. You know, I'm a big NC State homer.
So. Yeah.
Okay, like I'm not, lot, just in case people don't know all the backstory there. I'm not an NC State
homer. No, you kind of are, though.
No, I definitely am not. I'm just not, you know. I have great relationship with their media relations people there, and I show them appreciation sometimes.
Did you know that the Red Wolf is actually, like, a real thing?
I assumed it was. I didn't think it was a mystical creature.
Well no, but, like, they didn't just throw a color in front of it.
Okay, yeah.
There's actually a Red Wolf is an actual designation from the Southeast United States.
Of a type of wolf? This looks like a coyote to me, Kyle.
Right.
Yeah, I've seen scarier looking wolves. I got to be honest.
Make it the Wolf Pack. Let's go.
Right. These aren't the wolves I want to be named after. You know?
Let's go.
I want those fierce white ones, you know, that were in
The Game White Wolf? Yeah.
Yeah. What, those ones?
Avenge the Red Wedding. Let's go.
We've managed to have the weirdest twist here without picking a game.
So we're picking Cleveland, though.
Yeah, we are picking Cleveland. And we are picking the against Washington. So, yeah, I guess that did make sense.
Okay. You good to move on?
Well, did we pick Washington?
No.
I kind of want to.
I thought we picked Cleveland.
Cleveland for the dub. Okay, yeah, I'm here for it.
It's at home.
It's at home. Yeah.
Okay. Week 4, 2 Dallas. We have that as a loss. Week 5, they're back home against the Colts. We have that as a win. So now they're 3-2. Fall to 3-3, lose in Pittsburgh to the Steelers. Week 4, week 7, they pick up their fourth loss, a projected loss to the Cincinnati Bengals to split the season series. Week 8.
3-3 going into this game?
They're 3-4 going into this game.
3-4. So they want to even this record up going into the bye, huh?
They do.
Winnable game.
It is a winnable game. They're playing the Vegas Raiders. Do you think, like, in the grand scheme and history of the NFL, like, there's this many, like, relocations and rebrands, like, spread across the entire history of the league, or do we feel like we're in, like, an anomaly of, like, a lot of that kind of action right now?
I think it feels like it, but I think if you go across most franchises, it's like they've been somewhere else, they've been called something different.
Right.
So
because we had, like, the Rams and Chargers moved, the Raiders moved,
the
Washington's getting rebranded.
Yeah. But the Cardinals have moved. The Raiders have moved a ton of times. I mean, the Cleveland Browns, they're the Baltimore Ravens, and then the Browns came back.
And Tennessee was, were in Houston, and then they were the Tennessee Oilers for 2 years, and then they were the Titans. So I guess not. I'll shut up.
I think that the Browns take care of business before going into this bye and even up their record at 4-4.
Why?
The reason I believe that is because I think they have a better football team than the Vegas Raiders, and they're at home. And I think that I think this is a game where they've probably – I mean, they're coming off of two bad division losses right on the road. They're back home, a very focused Browns team under the good leadership of Kevin Stefanski. And so we got to get this thing to 4-4. Let's get the bye, and let's go on a run here in the second half of the year.
Okay. I get behind it.
You were inspired? Was that a Herb Brooks moment?
Yeah, there, I just wanted to hear what your thought process was. That's all.
All right.
Coming out of the bye, we have them at home beating the Houston Texans.
Wow, the momentum in Cleveland.
Don't get too far ahead of yourself. They have a home loss against the Eagles coming up next. And then a loss to Jacksonville in Jacksonville week.
Oh, so this is a team that's lost games to Jacksonville and Cincinnati. You hate to see it.
All right. But then they bounce back, road win against Tennessee.
Okay.
Monday Night Football win against the Baltimore Ravens.
That's a big dub, man.
That's a massive.
What's their record at this point now?
They are right now 7-6. With
7-6
left to play.
Staring down the barrel at Giants, at Jets, and versus Pittsburgh. They say if we went out, we're 10-6. We're going to the playoffs.
Yeah. But I don't think they went out.
I don't think they do, but we only have one game left to pick.
Right. And I think that's got to be a loss.
So this Baltimore game, is that you said that was Monday Night Football?
Yes, Monday Night Football. So short week, you go on the road, classic letdown game.
Yeah.
For a young team that's going to be feeling themselves because of massive wins over Tennessee and Baltimore back to back.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, no team will wear you out like playing the Ravens, man. You know what I mean?
Right. There's an emotional and physical exhaustion at the end of that game, especially if you get a win.
Yeah. Daniel Jones and company taking the dub.
The Giants claim a dub, a rare dub.
People say we hate the Giants. We just gave them a win here to ruin the Browns season, essentially.
No, not necessarily.
I was trying to gain some Giants fans to like us.
Because they're in New York the following week and play the Jets. We've picked the Browns to win this game. And then with nothing more than divisional seeding on the line. Actually, that's not true. Pittsburgh and Cleveland, week 17. The Steelers are going to be locked in to a road playoff game. And they have a two-game advantage over the Browns entering this contest. Pittsburgh will sit their starters. The Browns will win this game.
You can't, if you're Pittsburgh, can you play Mason in this game? You're going to rest Ben?
You're going to have to play Doug Hodges, I guess.
There you have it. The 9-7 Cleveland Browns. They're not eliminated, but
they're in.
Oh, they're in right now.
They're in. They're ahead of the Patriots in the standings as things currently stand.
Oh, the implications moving forward are great. Okay. So we've got to make five players available for the scouts here.
We do. So here's their players eligible for the expansion draft. Quarterbacks Baker Mayfield and Case Keenum. Running backs Nick Chubb, and that's probably it. Fullback Andy Janovich. Wide receivers, Jarvis Landry, Odell Beckham. That's probably it for guys that make the roster, other than maybe Donovan Peoples-Jones as a rookie, but we probably wouldn't be made available. Austin Hooper, David Njoku, Harrison Bryan, all eligible. Offensive linemen, J.C. Treader, Joel Bitonio, Jack Conklin, Chris Hubbard, Jedrick Wills, Wyatt Teller, all eligible. Defensive line, Sheldon Richardson, Miles Garrett, Adrian Claiborne, Chad Thomas, Jordan Elliott, all eligible linebackers. Didn't even know they had linebackers on this team. Sione Takitaki, Jacob Phillips, Mac Wilson, Jermaine Grace, eligible. And in the secondary, Denzel Ward, Greedy Williams, Sheldrick Redwine, and Grant Delpit will be eligible as a rookie in 2020.
I have sort of good news here. I found two going through that I thought were low-hanging fruit. But here's the thing with the Browns, brother. $80 million in cap space projected to have right now in 2020.
Let's go.
They're in good shape.
John Dorsey didn't spend it all, damn it.
He didn't. But he tried. He hired Freddie Kitchens, though. And, brother, that's just not very smart. I thought the low-hanging fruit here, Kyle, was
Chris Hubbard.
Chris Hubbard was staring at me in a big way. And then between Adrian Claiborne and Chad Thomas. Okay. So we could put Adrian Claiborne and Chad Thomas.
We could. We might elect to do that. We'll see. Yeah. But
so I'm going to fill these in here.
All right. So Chad Thomas cap hit is just rounded up to 1.3 million. And Chris Hubbard's is 8.1 million.
Please God take him, scouts. They're not going
to. You're right. Your swing tackle, backup tackle.
He's been a disaster for the Browns.
Yeah,
he's total disaster. And credit to Kevin Colbert and company with Pittsburgh for just letting him walk, and then they went with Kevin Filer who's been a good right tackle for them.
Right.
So, all right. So we got to pick three more.
Jermaine Grace,
linebacker. So they're going to keep those three, Taki Phillips, Wilson. Tay Davis is a terrible football player. Yeah, I think so. I'm in on that. Jermaine Just
trying,
Grace.
Trying to find like non-core or essential players.
Yeah, we don't have to do anything essential here for this football team. Secondary.
How about Andy Janovich in a fullback out there?
I feel like they got him because they want to have him. Like, they feel like they need that player.
Yeah, but, like, wouldn't you rather – how easy is a fullback to replace versus putting somebody on here that, like, plays a much more high-value position?
I think I don't disagree, but
it's like, are we going to really sit here and pretend that a fullback's an untouchable asset?
But they're not paying him that much. I feel like they want this type of player, though.
Okay.
They're going to have to find his replacement. This
type of player.
Huh?
All right, let's see who else we can find then. Because I was like, Sheldrick Redwine.
Yeah, I feel like there's enough versatility there to keep him around.
Right.
And they have a lot of expiring contracts in their secondary. He could be a key piece. Young player. I think we should go Adrian Claiborne and...
But like Damian Ratley.
Yeah.
This wide receiver room has no freaking depth.
Donovan Peoples-Jones, brother. Let's go.
He's going to have to be a baller for them.
You can do it. What's Claiborne's cap?
Adrian Claiborne's cap hit is $3.5 million next year.
Who was and we did wide receiver Damian
Ratley.
Ratley and his cap space hit is $968K. Mm-hmm. So, Kyle, we did it. We've exposed five players. Offensive tackle Chris Hubbard, $8.1 million. Defensive end Chad Thomas, $1.3 million. Linebacker Jermaine Grace, $920K. Defensive end Adrian Claiborne, $3.5 million. And wide receiver Damian Ratley, $968,000. Let me tell you guys about rockauto.com. This is a family business that's been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. You can go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They've got everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. You can quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices that you prefer. Best of all, the prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why would you spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know that we sent you. They have amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need over at rockauto.com. Kyle, it's time for the Detroit Lions.
I don't know if we're going to find another win for this team, dude.
Okay. There's a take this week that they said that we're Matt Patricia haters. And I don't think that they're wrong about that.
Well, I don't think it's unreasonable to be highly skeptical of Matt Patricia.
Yeah, I just don't know. Like, okay. what has he done that's going to make us like him? You know, like... that's something to think about.
All right. So we've picked 12 games for Detroit to this point, and it has not been good. We have 4 games left to pick, and we need to ask ourselves honestly, Joe, what is the likelihood that Patricia is let go before the end of the season if this thing goes as badly as we think it will?
Pretty high. Go ahead and get ahead on that search, right?
Well, and didn't they have Martha Ford just stepped aside, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have a new ownership dynamic in here with her daughter, if that's correct?
Yeah, someone in the family.
So, I mean, we may have somebody who's going to be hands-on and look at this and say, this is a hot freaking mess. We're not paying you for this.
Yeah, I mean, 9-22-1, two seasons in, goes from 6 wins in 2018 to 3 in 2019.
Now, granted, Matt Stafford missed the second half of the season last year, so let's be – if we're going to be haters, we might as well be completely transparent, right?
To which I would say they've done everything they can to give Matt Patricia his defensive personnel that he needs, and it's the worst defense in football.
Yeah, what – where does it rank?
It was dead last year, I'm pretty sure.
In what measures?
I'm going to pull that up for you right now, Kyle. The Detroit Lions, here it is.
Okay, they were 26th in points and 31st in yards.
31st in total defense, 32nd in passing defense, and points 26th. Giving up 400 yards a game and 26 points. They got 7 interceptions last year and 28 sacks. 30th in interceptions, 29th in sacks. What do they do well?
They were, according to Pro Football Reference and their defensive SRS, which is their simple rating system that measures versus average. It's almost like plus or minus, right?
Mm-hmm.
They were ranked as the NFL's 6th worst defense last year.
Now, reinforcements have come, Kyle. They've brought in Danny Shelton. They have 3 new starters in the secondary, in Trufant, Akuda, and Daron Harmon. And Jamie Collins is now part of this mix. So, I mean, a year after they go out and get Justin Coleman and Trey Flowers and probably somebody else who's escaping me at this current moment. I mean, this has been substantial investments here for this defense. So we'll see. I don't feel good about it, though.
They forced 7 turnovers over their final 11 games.
4-7. Okay.
So we're not doing a whole lot of anything good.
No.
On Matt Patricia's side of the ball.
No. All right. So.
All right. Well, the good news is they're getting a win week one.
Big.
We projected a home win against the Chicago Bears.
Yep.
Week 2, they're on the road. They play the Green Bay Packers, and we've projected that to be a loss. So 1-1 to start the year. Week 3, a rematch from last year's tie.
Oh. The Cardinals turned – wasn't this a game that the Lions were way up in and the Cardinals turned it on?
Yeah, Kyler ripped off like 17 unanswered in the fourth quarter or something like that, and they ended up tying. And somebody was in position like with like a minute left. They faced like fourth and moderate with like a minute left in the game on the plus side of the 50.
Oh, God.
And they chose to punt. I think it was Cliff punted and gave the ball back to Detroit and pinned him deep with a minute left in overtime to tie. They go for the win. I think Arizona wins this game, though.
They're at home.
They're at home. They've got all these exciting new pieces. Detroit missing Darius Slay. Obviously, getting Jeff Okuda will help, and Desmond Trufant's the veteran presence in the secondary. But, like, it's new Hopkins. Like, he's going to get his. I think Arizona wins.
Okay. I'm not going to fight you on it. If it was in Detroit, I'd pound the table hard for Detroit, but they're not.
You would pound the table.
I think so, yeah.
All right,
yeah.
So what is the matchup in that game that has you compelled?
I think Jamie Collins is a difference maker for that defense in a game like this specifically, where Kenyon Drake and Kyler Murray are going to, you know, try to take advantage of a lot of spacing. And I think Detroit is a little bit – between identities a little bit on offense, where I think they want to incorporate some power running. But I think they're probably been the most successful pass in the football and relying on Matt Stafford. But so I don't know that early in the year that they're going to have that identity completely figured out. So that's why I decided I wasn't going to fight you.
Okay. Now week 4, they're back home before an early bye, but they play the Saints, Joe.
Yeah, it's not great.
Or do we want to make any compelling case for potential upset?
Well, I don't think the Lions will be able to match points with Drew Brees.
Okay, so no.
Yeah, I don't see it.
Saints win.
Yeah.
All right. Bye week. Coming out of the bye, we have them losing to Jacksonville.
Yeah. So they're 2-2 going into the bye, right? It's like reasonable.
No, they're 1-3 going into
the bye. Oh, because I marked it wrong. 1-3. Oh, no.
And then they lose to Jacksonville to go to 1-4.
Yeah.
Coming out of the bye. Now, week 7, they're in Atlanta to play the Falcons.
Jeff Okuda, Julio Jones.
Fun matchup.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is this is another one of those crossroads of the season type games.
This absolutely is.
And it's on the road again, you know?
Yep.
Like they needed that Cardinals game and they definitely need this Falcons game.
They're capable of winning this game.
Correct.
Desmond Trufant revenge game.
Yeah. What do you think about this Atlanta defense?
I was just getting ready to pull up their secondary and just make sure I had all the personnel right, because obviously Oliver, Terrell.
The biggest question I have in this game is what type of – do we believe Atlanta has enough on defense here to tighten the screws on Stafford and company?
Yeah, they got Charles Harris.
Chill.
I actually think Detroit could win this football game.
I wish it was at home.
So do I. But we didn't give them the benefit of the doubt against Arizona. We didn't give them the benefit of the doubt coming out of the bye on the road in Jacksonville. Surely they can win one of those three games.
Give it to them.
Give it to them.
I feel like our Falcons record right now is very poor.
It's not good. Okay. It's not abysmally bad.
All right.
We will need to – we'll reconcile that.
So they're 2-4 now.
They've got more wins than the Lions do. I'll say that.
All right. Detroit's 2-4 going into this Colts game.
Yes, and we have them losing this game at home because the Colts are coming out of the bye.
Okay.
Now, week 9 – we have them losing in Minnesota to the Vikings. Week 10. This is the last game we have to pick, Joe.
Yeah.
Home against Washington.
Well, good for them being at home.
And they finally got a crossroads game at home. The question is, does Washington have the secondary to combat all the pass catchers that the Lions have at their disposal? I think they have the front 7 to, bang.
I don't think they do.
From a secondary perspective?
No, yeah. So, I mean, they're going to be counting out like Ron Darby, Fabian Moreau, Jimmy Moreland, Kendall Fuller at corner. I mean, it's not terrible. But, I think there's still question marks all over there. Young players. Kendall Fuller is the best player there. He's only one guy, though. You have Sean Davis, Landon Collins, DeShazer Everett at safety.
It's kind of a troublesome group.
Right. Can they hold up protection-wise against all those dudes Washington has?
Okay, well, let's call it a Lions dub at home.
I'm here for it.
Okay. Lions dub. Then they're on the road. We have them losing to Carolina.
Oh, you hate to see it.
To fall to 3-7.
Okay.
Win on Thursday night, short week at home against the Texans. 4-7. Not bad. We've got 5 games left, but Joe, we have them losing all of them. Chicago. In Chicago, Green Bay in Detroit, Tennessee in Tennessee, Tampa in Detroit, and Minnesota in Detroit.
So 4-12.
4-12 Detroit Lions.
Sorry, Lions fans.
Now, if they – what do you think the ceiling is for wins for this team?
All right, so we gave them 4.
Right.
I mean, Arizona –
Jacksonville and Carolina.
Yeah, I mean,
could they? If everything breaks right, we get to maybe seven.
Yeah, could they win one of the Vikings games?
They could feasibly do it, yes.
So I think that's their ceiling. What is that, six eight. Or seven wins?
We said if they got Arizona, Jacksonville, Carolina, and one of the Vikings games, that would be eight wins.
And for what reason should we give the benefit of the doubt to Matt Patricia?
Right. And that's what it could. We're not buying into the coaching of Detroit. Right. And hence, we're not giving them those breaks. I feel pretty good about this being a prediction we're within two games on.
So they'll win between two and six games?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I mean, that's what I think about with them too.
Yeah, so.
Do I wish it was maybe 3-7? Maybe, but I'm okay.
All right, so now we got to pick five players from Detroit.
Here's what's – before we do this, I think this is interesting because – Matty P's gone, right? 4-12, he's gone. And what that means, Kyle, is that we talked about this before. The problem is they got a bunch of players for Matty P in his defense, right? So, like, there could be huge implications with who they hire and who fits. And this is a team with $51 million in cap space. That's right in the middle of the league. So, I mean, we're hitting the reset button here, and I haven't even peaked yet, but I think that we should be willing to – maybe be aggressive.
Shed with some guys who are...
Yeah, that we think maybe won't be part of the next regime.
I think that's perfectly reasonable. Now, where do you think he goes?
Who's he? Matty P?
Yeah. I mean, Detroit sitting here at 2-6? Is he getting fired at the midway point?
Does he get fired?
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe after that Carolina loss.
I thought that too, but it's like, man, they just won the week before that.
And so that would be...
And it's a short week. You can't fire him on a short week.
So they would be, yeah. Maybe after the Green Bay loss. Week 14. Things are spiraling. Or
maybe they ride it out, and that's why this thing completely falls apart.
Well.
Yeah. They lose some of these, you know, they get the 4-7, and then, you know, we lose to Chicago and Green Bay, and then the team quits, and the wheels just fall off the bus. But they don't fire him because they want to ride it out.
Fun fact. The Detroit Lions don't have one receiver.
What the hell?
Signed beyond this season. Unless you count Quintez Cephas. There is not one receiver signed beyond the 2020 season.
How much cap space they have?
50 mil. 50.
All right. Well, here we go. Here's the players eligible for the expansion draft. Quarterback Matt Stafford, quarterback Chase Daniel, running back Kerryon Johnson, running back Ty Johnson, running back DeAndre Swift, fullbacks Nick Bowden and Luke Sellers. Probably only one of them makes the roster, but that's neither here nor there. Tight ends Jesse James, TJ Hockenson, Hunter Bryant. Offensive lineman Big V Vitae, Frank Ragnow, Joe Dahl, rookie Jonah Jackson, Tyrell Crosby, rookie Logan Stenberg, defensive line, Trey Flowers, Nick Williams, Romeo Okwara on a club option, Danny Shelton, Deshaun Hand, Julian Okwara, Austin Bryant, linebackers Jamie Collins, Christian Jones, Jelani Tavai, and secondary players Justin Coleman, Desmond Trufant, Tracy Walker, Will Harris, and Amani Oyuwariye, plus Jeff Okuda.
Anybody stand out to you in a big way there?
Yes. It was Austin Bryant.
Yeah, I agree. Well, let's go. Bye-bye, Austin.
Clemson
did not have four first-round picks on that defense.
That was a fun narrative, though.
It was. You just watch a little film. You realize that one of these guys is not like the others.
We would put Chase Daniel on here.
Let me see here.
He ain't getting picked.
Yeah, that's interesting though. Like they had David Blau already in the mix, and they then signed Chase Daniel though. Isn't that kind of weird?
A little bit, yeah. To like a $13 million deal or whatever it was.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I can care less about losing Chase Daniel. 5.3 million.
Is Kerryon Johnson get on this list? They just drafted DeAndre Swift.
And they have Bo Scarborough, who was reasonable last year.
Stay healthy.
Yeah.
I think he does for $2 million.
Yeah, you're not going to keep him. You're not going to pay him a contract extension. So, right.
Tight end Jesse James is a lock.
Oh, what's his? Oh, yeah,
$6.5 million.
Goodbye.
What a contract.
We haven't even touched any of Manny P's defensive players yet.
Right. Well, we got Austin Bryan on there.
Oh yeah, Austin Bryan. That's right. What this so big let's V deal.
Let's strategize this last guy because we're up to four, right?
We have four. Yeah.
Is Chase Daniel a 10-plus year guy?
He might be.
I would expect that he is.
Feels like he's been around for a couple minutes. Chase Daniel has played in the NFL four. Oh, yeah, 12 years.
Okay, so we can't get rid of some long in the tooth vet, but I don't think that's going to be a problem.
What about picking up Romeo? Danny Shelton or picking up Romeo Okwara's option and exposing him? Or Christian Jones?
Yeah, I was looking in the secondary.
Who do you like there?
Trufant. I could get behind Danny Shelton. Easily replaceable nose tackle.
Yeah, and who knows what type of defense they're going to run with whoever their next coach is.
They'll probably end up back in New England again anyway. Continue to thrive.
We've exposed five players. Defensive end Austin Bryant, $1 million. Quarterback Chase Daniel, 5.3. Running back Kerryon Johnson, 2.06. Tight end Jesse James, 6.4. And Danny Shelton, defensive tackle at 5.25 mil.
For the 4-12 Detroit Lions.
Yep.
Okay, Denver Broncos time.
My Broncos.
We've picked 10 games for the Broncos. They get off to an ugly start.
Yeah.
We've picked everything before the bye for the Broncos, and here's what we've put together. Week one, Monday Night Football, win against Tennessee in Mile High. Weeks two and three, we have losses at Pittsburgh and home against Tampa Bay and Tom Brady. Week four, on a short week, they are on the road in New York against the Jets. We also have that as a loss. And the following week, they have to draw the Patriots of all teams. Despite the extra couple days of preparation, we have them losing that game as well to fall to 1-4, but they bounce back, Joe. And we have a win at home against Miami and a stunning upset going into the bye to restart the season and establish momentum, moving them to 3-4 with a home win against the Kansas City Chiefs. 3-4 coming out of the bye. They are on the road to play the Atlanta Falcons.
I like this as a win coming out of the bye. I think Denver's going to have one of the best, for sure, top 10 defense this year.
And they got a slew of weapons.
Yeah, and so I think at this point in the year, especially coming off of a two-game win streak with a win over the Chiefs going into this bye, Drew Lock and his insanely talented young weapons will kind of be hitting their stride.
Right. Drew will be settled in after a rough first month to start the season against some potentially elite defenses in Pittsburgh and Tampa and New England. So,
what pass rush threats do the Falcons have to really nervous?
They got Dante Fowler.
If that's your best pass rusher, I don't know. I'm not losing sleep. I like the Broncos coming out of the bye.
I also like the Broncos in this game.
Oh man, we're down on the Falcons. Okay.
I guarantee you we're gonna do them like we did them last year, which is exactly how their season turned out.
Good.
Where they catch some fire late, right?
Yeah.
We did that to them because they did that the year before, and I remember us talking about wow, we have the Falcons following the same script as last year where they're terrible the first half of the season, then they bounce back. And that's exactly what happened. Yep. So yeah. Okay, so week 10. On the road in Vegas to play the Raiders.
Is this a letdown game?
Yeah, because they've won three in a row, right? Like they're feeling themselves. Raiders win.
Yeah.
I think they've got an offensive line that can, you know, even though we've talked, you mentioned Denver's ceiling of their defense.
Yeah.
That Raiders offensive line is no slouch. And at home, that's a nice draw for them.
I agree. I think the home field there matters.
Okay. So win for the Raiders. Week 11, they're returning. Broncos are returning home to play the Chargers, who are coming off the bye.
Oh, the Chargers off the bye. So you have a Broncos team with a letdown divisional loss coming back home and a Chargers team coming off of a bye.
Yeah. I got to consult with the recent history in this game. The Broncos have won three of the last four.
They won them both last year?
Yes. And they've won five of the last eight. Oh, man. And then it gets even worse. You go back to 2014. This one looks like it was a playoff game. In 2014. Yes, it was. Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. The Broncos are 10-3 in their last 13 games against the Chargers.
I was not aware of that dominance. I think this is probably the best I've felt about Denver in a while and the worst I've felt about the Chargers in a while. Why would we think that at home the Broncos would lose this game?
Yep.
Win.
Win for the Broncos at home, regardless of the Chargers coming off the bye. Now, they're also at home the following week, but they play the New Orleans Saints.
That's a tough draw, man.
We've already given the Broncos a win over the Chiefs.
If you beat the
Chiefs and the Saints in the same year, you deserve a prize, and I don't think that's going to happen.
No prize. Loss.
All right, loss. And they lose the following week to the Chiefs in Kansas City.
Yep.
So this team was at 5-5 after the win against the Chargers, climbing back from that rough start. And then they lose two in a row to fall to 5-7. But, Joe, then we have them bouncing back and winning their next two in Carolina and home against Buffalo to move to 7-7 with two games left to play.
Two division road games left to play.
No, one of them's a home game.
Oh, then I've typed it in wrong. I have a lot at Chargers and at Raiders.
At Chargers and home against Raiders.
Uh-huh. Okay, that's helpful. Okay, let's deal with this Chargers game.
Yeah.
Is this – okay, so on one hand, we take the same narrative. We have a young football team, a veteran defense, but a young offense, still trying to figure things out. Do they go and win this game after a two-game win streak on the road in Los Angeles, a team that they've handled very well? They've already beat them once this year. Do you have any convictions here?
Okay, so I just worry about the Chargers' offensive line and, like, the quarterback situation in year one for Herbert.
If Herbert's playing, then give me a win for Denver all day long against a Fangio defense. All day long.
But even if it's Tyrod Taylor, like, I still worry about the offensive line. Like,
right.
Tyrod's going to play this game in a box. He's going to play it in an 8-yard box from the line of scrimmage, and that's it.
Because Sam Tevy and Dan Feeney are still starting for the Chargers.
Correct. And that,
even though they added Bulaga and Trey Turner, we've still got Tevy and Feeney playing, you know, projected as starters.
That feels like a crippling flaw.
Now I'm throwing Jarrell Casey and Von Miller and Brad Chubb and who's the kid from they brought him back. Shelby Harris.
Yep.
I've got Alexander Johnson patrolling the middle against your run game. Good secondary. I like Denver here.
Yeah.
I'm sold.
I think we're going to be lower on the Chargers than we are on the Falcons. You know, we've made that comment.
That's fine with me.
On the Falcons.
That's fine with me.
Okay. Now, week 17. The Broncos are 8-7
this really gets weird, right? Because we have Patriots, Cleveland at 9-7.
Cleveland's at 8-7, playing against Pittsburgh, who's 10-5. The Patriots are at 8-7, playing the New York Jets at home. The Broncos in this scenario are 8-7, playing the Raiders at home. And then you've got some 7-8 teams that are like lingering here, like the Colts entering week 17 are 7-8, but we have them beating Jacksonville. Miami is 7-8. We have them playing Buffalo, who's clinched the division.
Houston's what now? 8-8, I thought.
Houston, ish. We have it 7-9.
Okay.
But so they're 7-8 entering week 17 playing Tennessee. There's a lot of chaos here week 17. Yeah. We've picked a lot of these games already.
Yeah. Well, and it's going to come like strength of schedule and stuff like that's going to start mattering.
Well, I can tell you right now, I know who makes the playoffs if we pick Denver to win, and I know who makes the playoffs if we pick the Raiders to win.
All right, so let's put all that aside and let's think about the dynamics of this Denver Broncos team at this point playing the Vegas Raiders at this point. This game is in Denver.
Right.
Which is a massive home field advantage with the altitude, and it's going to be cold and late in the year. It's week 17. This game's in January, isn't it?
This game is January 3rd.
It'd be cold and you can't breathe.
4:25 kick.
Oh.
That might settle it by itself.
Yeah, Derek Carr, Southern California guy. You got Josh Jacobs.
No, listen, he played at Fresno. They played some cold weather games.
Henry Ruggs, is he going to be that fast? Which team has a better defense? Denver, right?
Probably.
Denver's going to hit you with Gordon, Freeman, and Lindsey all day long.
Yeah, but then if you talk about that style of play, man, the Raiders are constructed to play this style of game.
So that's why it goes back to the defense. Which front seven do you think can slow down the run game?
Let me let my producer check something real quick.
I like what the Raiders have in terms of O-line and Josh Jacobs, and we're going to pound the hell out of the football. I think Denver has the answers in the front seven, more so than the Raiders do. The Raiders probably have a better offensive line. They have a better single running back in Josh Jacobs than anything that Denver has.
They've split the last 8 games between both teams.
And we have the Broncos winning. No, we have them losing. We have them losing
in Vegas. The Raiders winning the first game, yes.
Club dub for the Broncos.
So they split the last 8 games, and the 8 games before that, the Broncos won every single one. That's fun. That's fun. So the Broncos are 4-12-4 in their last 16 games against the Raiders. Not that any of that matters. I'm just kind of pointing it out. The trends.
Right.
You want to get on Club Dub?
I'm all the way in on
Club Dub, Joe. Broncos 9-7 to finish the season.
Hell yeah, man. It's encouraging. Who goes to the playoffs? I need to know.
Who's in?
Give me the seeds, right. Top to bottom, 1-7.
In the AFC is done. We've got some work to do yet for the NFC, but the AFC, we have 2 teams in the AFC with 4 games apiece left to be picked.
But so you're telling me that we have 2 AFC West teams to pull. There's nothing that can happen in those games that would change conference records or anything like that.
Well, let's do it right now because it's the Raiders and the Chargers, and they play 2 games against each other. So let's just do it.
And the rest are conference games.
Yes. All right. Do we think the Saints are going to lose to the Raiders in Las Vegas this year?
No.
Saints win. Okay. Do we think the Falcons at home will beat the Raiders?
Yeah. Can we give the Falcons the benefit of the doubt?
Yes. I agree with you. I think their offensive attack in Julio is – they got depth there to make some noise. So Falcons win that game.
Welcome to the league, Damon Arnett.
Now, Raiders at home on Thursday night against the Chargers. Win or loss?
I like that for the Raiders.
For the Raiders. Yeah. We want to have them split the season series.
When is the game? When is that game?
Okay, the Chargers are at home week 9. And the Raiders are at home week 15.
I think a split is reasonable.
Okay, so now we've got... Do we think the Chargers are going to beat New Orleans in New Orleans on Monday Night Football this year?
I don't. I don't even think a little bit.
Okay, great. This is the last game to pick for the AFC.
Okay.
It's a non-conference game, so it's actually inconsequential to what we're talking about.
But let's pick it, though.
Chargers at home against the Falcons.
When is the game?
Week 14.
Falcons win.
Falcons win.
Yeah.
Okay. So, our playoff seeding is complete. I will read to you the AFC playoff seeding, and we will tackle the Raiders and Chargers tomorrow along with an NFC team.
And then we still have to pick the Denver's players for the scouts, but I am on pins and needles here knowing what's going to happen with
correct.
The AFC
playoffs. Okay, so the number one seed is the Baltimore Ravens at 13-3. We knew this. That's why we had them sitting their starters week 17 and losing that game to the Cincinnati Bengals.
Congratulations.
The number two seed is the Kansas City Chiefs, also finishing at 13-3. But we had Baltimore winning the head-to-head this year, which gave them the one seed. So the Chiefs will play in the wild card round. Okay. The number three seed is the Tennessee Titans at 10-6.
Okay. We talk crap on Tennessee a bunch, and we're like, oh, here they are. Division champs, third seed. Good for them.
The number four seed is the Buffalo Bills.
A home playoff game. A
home playoff Bills. Playoff I know you are thrilled. Bills. Now, the number five seed.
Yep.
Who will play the Buffalo Bills?
Wouldn't it be the – so it's 2-7. Three versus six.
So this is the Buffalo Bills opponent. Oh,
so the Bills in the home playoff game at New Era Field host?
Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, come on.
10-6 Pittsburgh Steelers are the number one wild card team.
Okay.
The number two wild card team who is playing the Tennessee Titans is the 9-7 Cleveland Browns.
I want them. Can I?
No, you can't have that. Imagine. Who would have thought that'd be a playoff game? We get the Bills and the Browns.
Right. Oh, it's beautiful. So can you tell me this? The Titans were 10-6. The Bills were 10-6?
Yes.
What gives the Titans the tiebreaker there? They beat them head-to-head. The Titans beat the Bills. Didn't we have that? We did.
Yes, we did.
That's got to be why. Okay.
Yep. Yep, big game. That week five matchup.
That's the difference between hosting the Steelers and hosting the Browns.
Yep.
There you go. All right, so the seven seed.
For the seven seed, the Kansas City Chiefs will be playing at home.
Hold on. Who's in contention? Tell us the teams in alphabetical order by nickname.
Okay. The Denver Broncos finished the year at 9-7.
Okay.
The New England Patriots also finished the year at 9-7.
Okay. Is that it?
That is it.
It's one of those two teams.
We had the Colts and the Dolphins finishing at 8-8, one game behind.
Okay. I don't know the answer to this, but I love surprises and I love building up.
So who do you think it is? Who do you think it is?
I think it's going to be Denver, and let me tell you why. Just thinking about the games, I think that Denver is going to have a better conference record. If the Patriots missed the playoffs, it'd be the first time since 2008, and that's for them, they were 11-5 that year and missed it. All right, I'm ready to find out.
Chiefs are hosting the New England Patriots.
Oh, they get in. They get in.
Courtesy of a head-to-head tiebreaker week five. Patriots beat the Broncos week five.
Oh, man. Well, you're still on the uptick, Denver. You're right there. You're right there in it.
You got to feel great about 9-7.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So that's the playoffs. We'll pick those games Friday, right?
Friday. Yep. Yeah, baby. Now we got to pick five players for the expansion draft for the Broncos.
Good. I've got 4 days to figure out my argument to convince you that the Bills get a playoff win. So I'm excited about
Jeff Driscoll. Lock it in. Let's go.
Okay. All right, so we're at Denver.
Yes. Quarterbacks eligible. Driscoll, Drew Lock, Brett Rippon. Can we make Brett available just so he can be freed?
You would
play for the scouts.
Yeah, you'd be.
He'd be the first pick.
Forget about Tyron Smith, who's available. We're gonna Brett Rippon.
Forget. Yeah. Okay. So running backs eligible: Melvin Gordon, Royce Freeman, Philip Lindsay will be a restricted free agent, so he'd technically be eligible, but they'd have to tender him, and that's we're not forecasting that far ahead. Wide receivers: Courtland Sutton, Deshaun Hamilton, Juwan Winfrey, KJ Hamler, Jerry Jeudy, Tyree Cleveland. Tight ends: Noah Fant, Nick Vinette, Troy Fumagalli, Andrew Beck, Albert Okwuegbunam. Offensive line: Juwan James, Graham Glasgow, Dalton Reisner, Lloyd Cushenberry, Nitane Mutai. Defensive line: Jarrell Casey, Draymond Jones, McTelvin Agin. Linebackers: Von Miller, Bradley Chubb, Josie Jewell, Justin Hollins, Malik Reed. Secondary: Kareem Jackson, A.J. Bouye, Bryce Callahan, Isaac Yiadom, Duke Dawson, Michael Ojemudia.
As the co-GM of the San Diego Scouts, I'd like to offer a seventh-round pick to the Broncos for Jarrell Casey.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen twice, dude. It's okay, dumb enough it happened the first time.
Broncos have $55 million in cap space.
Okay, so they got – although they're going to have to start worrying about some extensions here in the not-too-distant future with Bradley Chubb, Courtland Sutton.
Committing long-term to Kareem Jackson. Or not – Justin Simmons, excuse me.
Justin Simmons, yeah. Yep. I actually think Kareem Jackson's a pretty good candidate to get put on this list, but I digress.
It's an expensive safety tandem.
Yeah. It's $27.5 million this year. $25.5 million this year. Plus Bouye's due $13.5 million.
Yeah.
And he's on the downswing. Can we start with Jeff Driscoll? Put him on the list?
Yeah. Yes, we can, Kyle. You've been on that.
We'll put some easy ones on first before we make the hard decisions. Like Deshaun Hamilton is the easiest decision this team can make.
Right. Yeah. I thought he was a pretty obvious one. Wide receiver. Some people used to call him Bayshawn, you know, because he ran good routes, but then he couldn't catch.
Yeah. So what about Troy Fumagalli?
Yeah, I was thinking about these tight ends, Kyle, and between drafting Albert Okay and Noah Fant, obviously their first round pick in 2019, they just gave a contract to Vinette. Seems kind of weird. They still have Fumagalli.
Jeff Hardman's here too. I mean, he's expiring contract, but right. Like,
you're not going to keep like five tight ends. So you, who are you thinking, Vinette?
No, Vinette's a I would put Fumagalli up.
So we think that the tight end room next year will be – they're going to keep Vinette, Fant, Albert Okay, and Fumagalli?
Yes.
So Heuerman, they're going to cut some like reasonable players.
Well, Heuerman's an expiring contract after 2020. But, like, if they keep Heuerman, Fant, Vinette – and they got Jake Butt, too, coming right in this year. What the hell's going on?
Every here? Big Ten tight end you can imagine plays for the Denver Broncos.
So Fumagalli, yeah, he probably is going to get cut, isn't he?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I don't know that. It's weird, man.
All right. Any other team, he's the tight end three, like no questions asked, and we just move on with our lives and we put him on the list. But he's legit tight end six for this team.
Good luck sorting that out.
Heuerman, Vinette, Butt, Okwuegbunam, and then Fumagalli. And, oh, yeah, we use Andrew Beck at fullback sometimes. All right, leave him off.
I was thinking about Draymond Jones, but he played well late in the season last year.
You get into the offense, the trenches for them, and there's, like, no breaks. There's, like, no gimme players here.
Because nobody's freaking signed long-term.
Right.
What about Josie Jewell?
Yeah. I think that's an easy one.
You've got Alexander Johnson.
He's super smart. I get it. But, like, as far as today's NFL play style, like, he doesn't move the needle.
I don't think so. But especially because you kind of have that a better version of that in Johnson.
So Josie Jewell on?
I think so. Some Broncos fans probably love him, and they're like hating us right now.
Yeah, he's like all first team grit player.
He is.
That's fine, but like he's an unathletic, short armed linebacker who in today's NFL like is marginalized versus what he would have been 10, 15 years ago. That's all.
Yeah. And fun fact, it doesn't mean he's off the team. He still has to get drafted.
Right. So. And I don't think the scouts guys doesn't sound like they like him too much.
Not so. Surprised. I think we got to take a look at this cornerback situation. Bryce Callahan, important player for them, but he missed all of last year. You still have Isaac Yiadom signed through 2021. Duke Dawson signed through 2021. He just drafted Sang Bassey. Michael Ojemudia has been drafted for them. You've got Bouye. Something's got to give here with these corners.
What did Duke Dawson do last year?
Duke?
Yeah. He started a couple games, didn't he?
Yeah, well, because they never got Callahan back, man. They were searching for a Nick.
He did. He started three games last year. He played about 350 snaps on defense.
Yiadom started eight games.
Am I crazy for thinking we might want to drop one of the big name guys?
So between Jackson, Bouye, in who?
I mean, preferably one of those two. Would they trade for Bouye a four?
Yeah, he's just a perfect scheme fit, right? Press corner.
Right, but he's – how old is he?
Bouye?
30, 31, 29.
One of these days I'll stop closing out the Broncos
roster. Imagine yeah. doing that.
He's an eight-year pro.
And he's due $13.5 million next year. He'll be 29 next offseason.
Yeah, he's not that old.
Okay. What about Kareem Jackson? Isn't he like 31?
Yeah, he was last year.
He's 32. He'll be 33 next offseason, entering into a contract year.
I'd probably just keep him, let him walk after the season.
Try and get a contract. Have him for 20.
We're 9-17, brother. We're
okay. So then. Then we're going to have to get into players like maybe Malik Reed.
Yeah, Malik Reed and Justin Hollins, those are redundant players.
Reed was actually like – he's the Nevada kid, right? Who just like crushed in the preseason last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd keep him and put Hollins up personally. Hollins is more of a developmental player.
He played in 15 games. Do you have percentage of snaps for him?
I can get it.
Plus Vaughn's back, so that's going to go down a bunch.
All right, so Justin Hollins last year. No, I don't want his college reference, you nut. And now I somehow got to a college basketball reference.
Oh, Kyle, what are you doing?
All right, so Hollins played 260 snaps last year.
Yeah, it doesn't move the needle. I say we put him on there.
Yes. He's listed at 248. There's no way.
So this team just drafted Lloyd Cushenberry. They haven't detained Mutai. They just gave money to Graham Glasgow. They just drafted Dalton Risner.
Correct.
Is there something we're missing on this offensive line?
No, not really. There's not a lot of good options here.
So then the only options would be James and
– I mean, I might get behind putting Juwan James on.
It's because of his inconsistency with injuries.
When when he's good or when he's healthy, he's average.
Well, so here's the problem is then you potentially create a scenario where you're replacing both of your tackles and you're not really prepared for that. They've been drafting interior players.
Correct.
So that's a tough fix in one off.
How many guys do we have on right now?
We have four. We need one more.
What about Juwan Winfrey?
Bigger receiver, you have Cortland Sutton. I mean, you just added Judy, Cleveland, and Hamler. So between those three plus Sutton, that's four.
am I an idiot for suggesting possibly Royce Freeman as a candidate as well?
Royce Freeman is the most replaceable player. I can get behind that. You could find another Royce Freeman in the fifth round of every single draft.
Correct. And like,
he averaged what we're calling the shots.
He averaged less than 4 yards a carry last year. Right. Now, he had like decent yards from scrimmage because he got involved in the passing game, but like, dude averaged 6 yards per catch last year. He caught 43 balls for 250 yards.
And you're paying Gordon $9 million in 2021.
Right. Plus, and you've still got Philip Lindsay as a dynamic other back.
And he's a running back. Okay. We did it, Kyle. Quarterback Jeff Driskel at 3.25 million. Wide receiver Deshaun Hamilton, 1.1 mil. Couple of linebackers here. Josie Jewell, 1.1 million. And Justin Hollins at 926K. And Royce Freeman at $1.2 million. They've all been exposed to the expansion draft.
Lock it in. That's going to do it for us today. Hey, listen, tomorrow is Takes on Takes. We are joined by a special guest, Mr. Dre Harris from the Draft Network, 7-year NFL scout, is going to join us. One of our esteemed colleagues at thedraftnetwork.com, part of our scouting staff. We're obviously thrilled to have him. And he poked us and he's like, yo, like, can I get on one of these podcasts you guys do? It seems fun. So we're going to have Dre hop in with us. And we're excited to have him. So we've assembled a list of your hottest takes from this past week, and we will be reading them and reacting to them with Dre, who is probably going to wonder what in the hell is wrong with everybody.
Oh,
primarily just you and I, Joe.
There's one take tomorrow. I cannot wait to see Dre just see how he deals with it. About which, like, it's just listen to the show tomorrow.
Just listen to the show tomorrow. There you go. Kyle Crabb signing off. Joe Marino, thanks as always for listening. We hope to see you guys tomorrow for Takes on Takes.